Singing. And I appreciate the effort. I like to hear God's people sing. Take your Bibles, turn to James chapter 1 again. We are continuing on in our practical Christian living series. And last week we began in chapter 1 of the book of James. And we labeled the chapters. We did just a brief overview, first of all, of the book of James, and we kind of titled each chapter. And chapter 1, if you recall, was a victorious faith. There's a classic emphasis on faith in the book of James. We're going to see it over and over and over again. But chapter 1 could be titled A Victorious Faith. And last week, we talked about rejoicing in trial, in the midst of trial. Verse 2 said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or surrounded by hardship, adverse experience," and so on. And so we can be victorious in our faith and trusting God no matter what the circumstances come. Tonight, or this afternoon, we're going to take verses 5 through 8 of James chapter 1, and we're just going verse by verse through this book and through all of the general epistles because of the fact that they apply so readily to the daily Christian life. And there's so much wisdom in God's Word that if we will apply it, we'll transform our life. And we're going to read verses 5 through 8 as our text here today. The Bible says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll begin. Father, we ask for your blessings. Father, I pray that you'd help me to teach the Word of God and convey this truth. Father, I pray that you'd help us all to apply your Word. Father, to see the results and the benefits of obedience to Christ. And we pray that you bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you like to be called ignorant? Yeah, every hand just went up right in the room right there. Yes, love it. No, we don't like to be called ignorant. We don't want to think of ourselves as ignoramuses or anything like that. We take pride in the things that we know or that we think we know. Ignorance of man is not something that we want to hear. But the fact is that we really are not as smart as we think we are. And we don't know as much as we think we know. And all of the wisdom of the world that you could gather is still foolishness with God, regardless. We are limited in our knowledge. We are limited in our wisdom. We are limited in what we know because we're finite. We are sinful people. And you know, the brevity of life limits our knowledge. I honestly believe that, you know, back in Noah's day, Adam and in following generations in Noah's day, people were a lot smarter than we are today. And we've got all kinds of technology, certainly, and somebody, you know, the world's philosophy is that people used to be cavemen, and we've evolved and developed into what we are today. That's not true. Because of sin, things spiral downwards. And things are given to entropy and things fall apart. We have less capable knowledge than man ever has before. The brevity of life limits our knowledge. You know, experience in life brings some wisdom to it, doesn't it? And the longer you live, the more that you can experience and the more wisdom you can obtain. Look with me at Job chapter 8. "But an aged man is not always a wise man." Job chapter 8, verse 9. "For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon the earth are a shadow." And here is a little bit of a glimpse into the brevity of life. Our days are but a shadow. And he says, we're but of yesterday. We know nothing. We're limited in our knowledge because of the brevity of life. You know, we're limited in our knowledge because the future is hidden. We don't know the future like God sees it and like God knows it. And wouldn't things be a lot easier if you could tell the future? It probably would be. In some aspects, certainly. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, just in case you didn't know where it was. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 7. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? We don't know what the future holds. We can't see into the future. You know, you got these fortune tellers out there. I've always wondered this. If there was really somebody who could tell the future and tell a fortune, how come those people are not filthy rich? Because they would be able to win the lottery every single year in every different state, because they would travel from state to state and they would predict the winning lottery numbers. But there's nobody who can tell the future. That's a bunch of baloney. But see, if we could see the future, we wouldn't have to trust the Lord. And we wouldn't live by faith, would we? We're limited in our knowledge because of the brevity of life. We can't see the future, therefore it limits our ability to know. Life itself is a mystery. We know the author of life. We know the one who gave us life, but we don't know how he did it. He spoke a word, and things came into being. We don't understand a lot of those things. And you know, the funny thing is that the world is still searching for the source of life. We know the source of life. It's God. The world is still searching for the source of life. There can be no true wisdom without God. You know, and back in our text, in James, he says, if any of you lack wisdom. Turn over there. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Wisdom is there. It's available. We just need to go to the right source. And you know, we create so many problems for ourselves because we fail to ask him for his wisdom. And if we would apply the wisdom of God, we would find that life actually is peaceful and joyful and a lot easier to live with the wisdom of God. And the title of the message tonight is Wisdom, a Gift from God. First of all, I want you to look at verse 5. And we're going to see here that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. The first principle I want you to see tonight is that God is a giver of good gifts. If any of you ask or lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given him. God is a giver of good gifts. God always gives good things. God never gives to us something that is bad, something that is evil. And you know, like last week, we were talking about the trials and hardships. And sometimes we could look at the circumstances around us and we can be all upset with what's going on in life. My lot in life, and I hate it. And we can be grumpy and we can be this and we can be that. But the principle is that God never allows anything into our life that is not for our good. God is a giver of good gifts. He always gives good things. That's why we need to have His wisdom and to trust Him. Sometimes people think that God doesn't care, but they're only looking at their circumstances in life when they come to those kinds of conclusions. How does God feel about us? Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And he says here in this portion, with Christ dwelling in your heart, you're rooted and grounded in love, and you're able to comprehend, to understand, at least to some degree, the breadth and length and depth of God's love. And he says to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. God always gives good things. God wants us to know the fullness of His love. He wants us to be filled with the fullness of God. We don't even know how good He wants to be to us. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. You know, God has eternal blessings in store, but God has present blessings in store as well. And we don't even know how good He wants to be to us. God always gives good things. This includes His wisdom. And He says, ask, and it will be given. In verse 5, he says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. He wants to give it, and He gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That word liberally means bountifully. He gives more than what you would even ask. He gives abundantly and bountifully. And He says, and He upbraideth not. You know what that means? It means to rail at or to chide. God doesn't chide you. He doesn't rail at you for asking for His wisdom. There's never going to be a time when He says you've had enough of Himself. You ask of God, and He gives liberally, and He'll never say you've had enough. What does Proverbs teach us about the fear about wisdom? What is the beginning of wisdom, according to Proverbs? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This goes so far beyond just intellect. When we're talking about having wisdom, it goes so far beyond just intellectual knowledge. This is talking about moral and spiritual character based in the fear of God. It's talking about the practical aspects of putting God's truth and God's principles at work in your life. That is true wisdom. Knowing that God gives good things and He gives us instruction and having the wisdom to be able to apply it is what makes the difference. And it's based in the fear of the Lord. Understanding who He is. Understanding that He is a holy God. Understanding His character. Understanding His nature and His love for us. And He's given to us exactly what we need. Real wisdom is able to understand that and then apply it. You follow me? And there's never a time when we've had enough of it. Putting to practice in life God's truth based on knowledge of who He is and a fear of Him. What is the fear of the Lord? It's not dread. It's reverential respect and awe of His majesty. In other words, God gives us of Himself. And God gives us of His character and of His knowledge, and it transforms our moral and our spiritual character. This is true wisdom. And He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God is just waiting and ready to give us of Himself. And He'll never say we've had enough. God is a giver of good gifts. Then I want you to notice verses 6 and 7 here. He says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Here is the condition for receiving God's wisdom. What is that condition? According to these verses, unshakable faith. He says, you want God's wisdom? You want the fullness of God? He says, let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering, unshakable faith. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, back and forth, up and down, driven with the wind and tossed. That person is not going to receive anything of God. All too often, we don't live life by faith, unshakable faith. We live our lives by unstable feelings. Our feelings dictate or determine our choices. What I feel like dictates or determines my mood. What I feel like, how I feel at this very moment, dictates or determines my relationships. We live life by our unstable feelings. And the problem with feelings is that they are truly unstable. They're up and down and up and down, and they change from one moment to the next. What if we always lived our lives by feelings? Because there are times when you don't feel like you love your spouse. That's part of the reason why there's so much divorce in our country. I don't feel love. I don't feel like I love you. What do your feelings have to do with anything? God wants us to live by principle, not by our feelings. Why is it that people have their midlife crisis? Because they're living their life by their feelings. That's why they get this impulse buying. You know, a midlife crisis, and you got to go out and buy a sports car. Because you're losing your youth. You got to feel young. And guess what? You end up getting buyer's remorse. Impulse buying is not usually ever good. I got to have it. I got to have it now because I feel like it. Feeling lonely? I have to have a companion. I can't be alone. Rather than trusting God. God only gives good things. God only gives good gifts. And when we start living life by how we feel, we're severely lacking in the wisdom of God. And we end up making choices in the moments based on what we feel. And I got to do this, and I got to do it now, and I feel this way, and I feel that way. We're just driven with the wind and tossed back and forth and up and down. I don't feel like serving God. Moody, grumpy, because things don't go well. People have to walk on eggshells around you for fear of getting trampled or being blown apart. The problem is our feelings are unstable. And they're always changing. I don't feel like being spiritual. And we end up doing what the flesh dictates. And we end up living in the flesh. And we're back and forth and we're up and down. And there's no stability. This is not where God wants us to live. God doesn't want us to live on that plane. He wants us to rise above. He wants us to be gaining higher ground. He wants us to be established and stable. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God will give of himself to you, but it needs to be with unshakable faith. Not living life with unstable feelings. God wants us to live by principle. 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 It needs to dictate your life. And the times come when we don't necessarily know what to do. But if we have lived our life based upon principle, guess what? We can always find the answer. We don't have to trust our feelings. God has something to say about it. And times come in life where things are unstable and maybe that we don't feel secure, but we can go to God's Word and say, okay, here's the principle to live by. That's what I'm going to do. Not by my feelings. Because the reality is our feelings should have nothing to do with anything. God wants us to live by principle. Principle is our guide to success and right living. when feelings will lead us astray. How do you live your life? Based upon how you feel in the moment? You know, your daily life, you let your mood be affected by how you feel and your responses to other people. I don't feel so good. And so I'm crabby and I'm grumpy, and so anytime that anybody wants to talk to me, they got to put up their guard, their shield. God doesn't want us to live there. Our feelings should dictate nothing, actually. And the condition for receiving God and receiving the wisdom of the Lord and receiving the Lord Himself is living by faith, not by feelings. And then we look at verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know what that word unstable means? It means inconsistent. A double-minded man who's back and forth, he's inconsistent in his life. He's inconsistent in all of his ways. Being double-minded, you know, trusting God one day, living by feelings in the flesh the next day. This man is inconsistent in every area of life. He says, in all his ways. I think so many times we rob ourselves of God's blessings because of how we live our lives. Because we don't live by principle. We live by our feelings. And here's a warning for the faithless. He says, a double-minded man is unstable. He's inconsistent in all of his ways. And the fact is, success and blessing come by living by faith, living by principle, not by living by our feelings. How many times do we find ourselves living in the flesh? And we may go for a period of time living in the flesh. We don't find any victory in the Christian life. And the flesh is dominating, and the flesh is controlling. And we find ourselves all out of sorts. And we find ourselves in that situation simply because we've been living by how we feel at the moment. I want this. I want that. Why aren't you giving this to me, God? Me, 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 and how I feel. Rather than living by faith and by principle, trusting God for His provision, trusting God for His care, trusting God to provide, trusting God to lead and direct. See, we take things into our own hands. And that's where we find ourselves in a lot of problems, a lot of trouble. Unwavering faith is the condition. God wants us to live by faith. You know, everything, and I'll finish up with this, everything in the Christian life revolves around faith. Everything. The Christian life begins with faith. In order to be even receive Jesus Christ, there has to be faith. Everything from that point on, it ends in faith. How does it end in faith? We're hoping for the return. We have confidence. Confident expectation is what hope means. We hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a, oh, I hope the Lord is going to come. I hope this is really real. No, it's confident expectation. I know He's coming. By faith we receive that. Everything in the Christian life revolves around faith. And God says, if you lack wisdom, just ask. Ask in faith. Live by faith, and it shall be given. These are principles that apply every day in the Christian life. Every day, you need to start your day and live your day by faith. And this is where success and blessing come. Living by principle, living by faith, not by our feelings. Let's pray. Father, we ask that You would apply this truth, help us to apply this truth in our lives. And Lord, the message is simple, and the message is short, but it's very profound. Father, I pray that You'd help us to live by faith. Father, in spite of the circumstances that may come, the trials that may come, to help us to understand that we can live above the circumstances. Father, we can have victory over this flesh, victory in this daily life when we live by faith. Father, I pray that as we go through this study, this chapter, this book, Father, that you'd cause us to grow. Help us to see, Father, the rich truth found in your word. And Father, may it transform our daily lives for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to be dismissed. We'll have choir practice in about 5 minutes. Those of you who are already falling asleep, go home and take a nap. You're changing me already. I'm determined, you know what? I'm just going to have to start preaching shorter on Sunday afternoon because people can't.